It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Kevin Gavin, sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer. Since August, at least four Pennsylvania state-owned universities, Edinburgh, Clarion, East Stroudsburg, and Mansfield, have announced plans to lay off more than 120 faculty members combined, plus administrators and other staff, and trim programs, mostly for the 2014-15 academic year. The cuts are intended to eliminate budget deficits triggered by an overall 6% drop in enrollment system-wide since the 2010 peak. Coupling that with a flat state appropriation the past 2 years, which followed an 18% reduction in 2011-12. Joining us now to further discuss the reasons behind the cuts in personnel and programs is Steve Hicks. He's the president of the Association of Pennsylvania State College and University Faculties. Steve, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
Steve, with the declining enrollment, meaning less tuition revenue and level state funding, as I mentioned, is it surprising that these faculty and staff and program cuts are being made?
Well, if you frame it that way, it doesn't seem surprising, but it's surprising to us as we look at the numbers and go back at the universities and say, back when we had an enrollment the same as we're carrying now, how many faculty members were we carrying, and what did the bottom line look like in terms of budgets? It's a tricky thing for a university to try and find a way to make up for that, especially these days when tuition makes up about 80% of our revenue.
Is it as simple as declining enrollment and flat funding from the state, or is there something deeper in that goes to the reasons for these layoffs?
I think there's probably several deeper pieces. One of them is that the universities have gotten into a competition with each other over the kinds of amenities that they provide for students. The example that's used rhetorically quite a flourish is we have to have a rock climbing wall like the next place. I don't think actually our universities go as far as having rock climbing walls, but we do have apartment style student housing as opposed to back when everybody was in a high-rise dorm kind of thing where you went to the bathroom down the hall and you shared the room with one person. You know, we have a whole different kind of style of amenity now for living, and it's more costly. And that kind of arms race is expensive and is draining in terms of where the universities are putting their money. We also live in a culture where at least they talk like they need more administrators because a whole series of agencies, from accreditation agencies to state agencies, ask for a constant stream of data to prove that we're doing the work we say we're doing. So you need a whole series of bureaucrats to make sure that that data is generated. So we're spending our money on other things rather than instruction much more than we used to.
You might have been alluding to this, but I'm going to pose it this way, Steve. Normally when you're facing a budget deficit, well, we cut costs or we raise revenues, get more funding from the state, maybe tuition hikes. Are there other options than those two, though?
There are, but they're difficult. The big one that we've talked about for a number of years in the state system is some sort of private funding coming in, particularly fundraising. We've hired presidents with the job ad is over and over again said we want a president who can raise money to fund some of these projects or fund more scholarships, you know, to generate more income. And the example that's probably most familiar to your listeners is California University of Pennsylvania, where President Armenti was attempting to raise that kind of money and turned out in the end he didn't really have it. And so there have been real questions about how much money you really can expect our universities to raise given the competitive nature of charitable giving these days, and also the fact that our graduates typically aren't lawyers or doctors or engineers who are the typical big givers at a private institution, a place like Pitt or Carnegie Mellon. So harder to go to our alums and say, oh, you're making big six-figure salary or maybe even more than that and get that kind of contribution.
In explaining the layoffs, some state system officials have said budgets are based on a student-faculty ratio of about 20 to 1, but they say that's now down to about 16.5 to 1. Your reaction?
Well, I would love to see how they're counting the numbers. Every number we have indicates that all the universities that you mentioned and several others that we've looked into the numbers have fewer faculty than they had before the peak in either 8, 9, or 10. So we have fewer faculty. We have more students at most of these institutions. So it'd be interesting to see how they're calculating that. And 20 to 1 is not a particularly positive number in terms of student-faculty ratio because obviously there are going to be some classes with only 5 in them, which means there are going to be classes to match it with 35 in them. So you expect senior-level classes to sometimes not have a whole lot of students in them. And used to be people bragged about how low their student-faculty ratio was. You know, we're in a strange position where people keep trying to bump it the other way as though that's a positive thing. In terms of education, I think most studies have found that fewer students in a class means you have a higher quality education.
Enrollment hit its peak in 2010 at nearly 120,000 students. Is that decline since then due to fewer high school grads, or were maybe more students because of the recession choosing state-owned universities, which were a pretty good bargain, much less expensive than some other schools, but maybe now they're selecting the higher-priced schools?
I don't think it's unicausal. I think there are several different reasons, but in the western part of the state, clearly the high school graduation numbers are down significantly. I know Slippery Rock study indicated their 5 counties they draw most of their population from. They expected like a 15% drop in the next couple of years in terms of high school graduates. But there's also a cost factor. There comes a point where you drive yourself out of the affordability for a certain level of people. And after the 2008 recession, we heard that a lot more. We have a lot of students who are doing part-time jobs to make sure that they can afford going. And, you know, that gets to be tough when you need to add it. You know, 5 more hours a week to be able to make ends meet. There comes an end to that stretch. I think on the one hand, we've stretched that a little too far. And on the other hand, there are fewer high school graduates to tap into, particularly out west.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. Our guest is Steve Hicks. He's president of the Association of Pennsylvania State College and University Faculties. We're discussing the planned cuts at a handful of Pennsylvania state-owned universities. Steve, college enrollment down nationwide by about 500,000. So with the competition for students keen, are these cuts making it easier for out-of-state schools to try to lure students from Pennsylvania?
I suspect that they'll use it to their benefit, and so will other places. I find it hard to believe that students are feel positively about universities who've gotten the kind of negative press that has come out over these cuts. I mean, there's been lots of consternation over the loss of music programs at Clarion and Mansfield and Edinburgh, for example. And I think that's the kind of thing that's off-putting to a high school senior who's looking at the possibilities. They're going to say, well, you know, if that program's going, even if I wasn't interested in it, you know, I wonder what they're going to do next year. How good a shape are they really in? You have places in Ohio who are giving Ohio in-state tuition to the border counties and sometimes the border to the border counties in Pennsylvania to draw students. So I think it's going to be to their benefit to some extent.
You mentioned some of the programs that are being cut. How are the universities determining which ones? Is it just a matter of numbers, student interests?
Their argument is it's been very number-driven, but sometimes the math doesn't really work on that. In terms of Edinburgh's music program, you know, it's one of their signature programs, so it's hard to understand why they went there. Sometimes it's number-driven. A couple programs have really small numbers, but in general, we have not really figured out the why, and we can't recreate the why over and over again. It's been a little hard to figure out at times.
Steve Hicks is president of the Association of Pennsylvania State College and University Faculties. Steve Hicks, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. Paul Guggenheimer returns tomorrow. I'm Kevin Gavin.